Well, it's great to be here. It's been a process to get here as an owner when you have your general manager in place, but your head coach isn't in place as well. It feels strange. I mean, it's kind of like part of you is missing, and so in terms of the process, I will say this: seeing these processes go on for many decades through the years, almost a half a century, they never seem to go what I would say extremely normal, if you will. A lot of different twists and turns in choosing head coaches and some of the events that kind of swirl around when you eventually settle in on one. I can only say this is that we really feel blessed having Frank as our head coach. I can't say enough about just him being in his prime, his experience, everything he brings to the table, obviously coming off such a huge victory in Minnesota is a great way to come to town and obviously has a lot of lineage with us. I couldn't be more excited. I can sense that our fans understand, too, how excited we are and what a perfect fit this is for us. We're ready to go. I mean, we're ready to get things rolling and really looking forward to having a great year. Going to be picking higher in the draft than normal, which is something we don't really like to do, but when we get the opportunity, we're going to take advantage of that. And so I'm going to bring up Chris now and let him say a few words, and we'll get our new head coach up here so you guys can talk to him. And like I said, we feel very blessed. Colts Nation should sleep well tonight and know going into this year we're in really good hands with our new head coach. So with that, Chris, come on up and we'll go from there.
Thank you. How we doing? So we don't always choose what happens to us. But what we get a chance to do is choose how we react to it. And I really believe that's what shows, you know, what we're made of. And I can't be more proud of our organization, the city of Indy, and how they've handled this last week. And can't be more proud of our new head coach, Frank Wright. So when we started this process, we kind of put down a list of things that we were looking for. You know, we wanted a leader, a guy who has a big picture vision, who's honest, smart, adaptable, can communicate, who's a teacher, and who's a partner. And I have no question that we've found that with Frank. I feel very fortunate that he's our head coach, and I think good things are to come here for the city of Indianapolis and for the Indianapolis Colts. So now I'll bring up our new head coach, Frank Wright.
Thank you. I want to first acknowledge and thank the Philadelphia Eagles organization, Mr. Lurie, Howie Roseman, and Doug Peterson, for allowing me to be part of a team and a journey that did something special for the Philadelphia Eagles. But today is a new chapter. Today is a new chapter, and I could not be more excited. And I just want to thank Mr. Irsay and the entire Irsay family for giving me this opportunity. I really believe we're going to work together to do something special for this city and for our organization, something that will be remembered for a long time. This is a great football city, and I'm happy to be home to my coaching roots. This is where I got my start, my first coaching job here with Tony Dungy as an intern and then eventually as a quality control coach and then as the quarterback coach to get my start. What a better way to get started, and there could not be a better way to finish it right here in this great city. I also want to thank Pete Ward and Dan Emerson, and I especially want to thank Chris Ballard. You know, the relationship between a head coach and a GM is critically important in any NFL organization. And it became very apparent really early on that Chris and I shared a very common philosophy and vision for this team and for this organization. And it really began with the idea that every person matters and that every detail matters in building a championship culture. One person at a time, one detail at a time, we will build a championship culture and make this city proud. We will, and being over at Mr. Irsay's house the other day to sign the contract, I can't even tell you that experience. That's going to be hard to top. In his home, with his family, my family, the Colts family, it literally felt like a family gathering. And that's what makes us all tick. That's why we have so much fun out here in this stadium. And hearing Mr. Irsay's heart was, Frank, help us bring the joy back into the city of Indianapolis for the great traditions that we have here, all the games that we've won. Let's bring that back again. And that's what we're here for. And we'll do it one person at a time, one detail at a time, one player at a time, and one game at a time. As the head coach, the vision is simple and it's clear. That every time we step on the field to compete, there will be four marks that will mark our team. The first one is that we will be the toughest. We will be the toughest, both mentally and physically. What I mean by that is there will be a relentless pursuit to get better every day. A relentless pursuit. Relentless every day, get better. And an obsession with finishing strong. An obsession with finishing strong. Growing up in my household with an older sister and younger brother, my dad used to tell us all the time, he'd tell me all the time as I was growing up playing football, Frank, it's not always a question of who's the toughest. It's a question of who's the toughest the longest. We will have a tough football team. Secondly, we will be the most disciplined team. We will have the structure, we will have the system, and we will have the processes that cultivate discipline. Why is this so important? Well, there's a quote that I've had on my desk. I've had two quotes on my desk since my rookie year in 1985. And then one of them reads this: the sweat of discipline and the hard work of repetition always precedes the thrill of spontaneity in any pursuit of life. And so discipline is going to be the foundation that's going to create a lot of joy out on that field and in this city. And when we wear the horseshoe, we'll be wearing it with a lot of joy and a lot of pride in our hearts. And it's going to be fun to be a part of that. But thirdly, we're going to be the most prepared team. The second quote that I've had on my desk since 1985 simply reads this. And these two quotes have been a life philosophy and a life mission for me. That no man becomes suddenly different from his habits and cherished thoughts. No man becomes suddenly different from his habits and cherished thoughts. And so what we're going to be about as an organization and as a football team is creating and cultivating habits, championship habits, and championship thoughts. That's the vision. And then fourth, we're going to be the most united team. We're going to be a close team. It's going to be built around trust, respect, and love. A love of the game. As Chris and I talked about what this team would look like, and it was all about we want players that love the game of football, that love to come to work every day, and players that love each other, and players that have a vision and realize it's bigger than them. It's about this city. It's about this city right here in Indianapolis, that together there would be a love that would be so contagious that it would bring a closeness and result, right, and produce the championship culture that we all want. And what we know is this, that when you have a championship culture, it's going to result in many victories. That's the vision. I'll open it up for questions.
Frank, over here. I think it was said at some point that, I mean, you apparently told your agent perhaps that you did not want to engage in any possible talks about another job until after the playoffs were over. And if that's true, that may have almost cost you an opportunity. Can you confirm that? And if so, you know, why did you take that, you know, that principle and that stance? Why was that important to you?
Well, the stance that I took with my agent was basically the words were this. I'm going dark. I'm focused on the task at hand. And that's to help our team win playoff games and win the Super Bowl. And that meant no phone calls, no texts. Now, whether there was any activity or not, I was dark. I was focused on one thing. And after experiencing that and the importance of every detail in the preparation for those games, I wouldn't change a thing.
Over here. Yep. Zach Kiefer with the Indianapolis Star. What, if any, relationship do you have with Andrew Luck, and what were you told during this process regarding the status of the quarterback, and then obviously so much will center on his return this season?
You know, I met Andrew, I think, I met him one time on the field, and then met him last year, I believe it was. I was out in Stanford working somebody out, and he was on the field. And in typical Andrew class act fashion, you know, he's down there doing his own workout, and he sees that we're down at the other end of the field, and he knows, and we have a lot of mutual friends. He runs down to my end of the field, introduces himself. We talk for a few minutes and go back. That's the extent of the personal connection I've had with Andrew. I can tell you, as a quarterback, former quarterback and coach, I've had the greatest admiration for him as a player. I think to have such a supremely talented player with such strong character and such great humility and such a team-first guy is rare, and I couldn't be more happy about working with the prospect. As far as what I've been told, you know, Chris gave the update last week. That's the update that I got, and that's all I needed.
Frank, why did you leave the seminary to get into coaching in 2006? Does the coaching intern, is that a paid position? And did you get into coaching with the dream of one day being an NFL head coach?
I always believed and wanted to be an NFL head coach. In fact, in 1985, after my rookie season in the NFL with the Buffalo Bills, I will never forget this, Bill Polian calls me into his office and says, Frank, this is going to sound a little strange, but I want you to play as many years as you can. And then when you're finished playing, I want you to come coach with me because you're going to be a head coach in the NFL one day. That was in 1985. And I grew up in a family of coaches. My dad was a football coach. My mom was a coach. My brother's a head coach of a Division II school, coach of the year. I mean, it just runs. And I've always envisioned myself. Why? Because I love the camaraderie. I love the people. I love the competition. I love the competition. And so the idea when I finished playing, I wanted a couple years to spend time with my family of three daughters, and my wife Linda and I, we talked a lot about our next step, and together we just decided that this was going to be an opportunity to really build into their lives, and during that time was a part of seminary. I wouldn't trade any day of that experience, the time with the family, the time in seminary, to help shape me to be the coach I am today.
George Bremer, CNHI Sports Indiana. Reading some of the stories coming out after the Super Bowl, it sounded like collaboration was a big part of what was going on in Philadelphia. Is that something you want to bring here, and how will that inform your choices for your coaching staff?
It's a huge part, and that starts with general manager, head coach, just talking to Chris, and that's just a sentiment that I could tell is oozing out of him and his leadership role, and I hope it oozes out of me as well. There's nothing better than collaboration. Collaboration doesn't mean that there's no leadership. It doesn't mean that there's no voice It doesn't mean that there's not clear conviction on where we're going. Collaboration means there's respect in the room, there's talent in the room, and our job as leaders is to get the best talent, the most talented staff, and to draw all of that out of them, to draw the best ideas. And that's what I've always believed. That's what we did in Philadelphia, and that's what we'll do here.
Frank, Mike Wells from ESPN. You were in a situation in Philadelphia where Coach Peterson called the plays. Will you call the plays here in Indy? And if so, what is the challenge in being a head coach while also calling plays on offense?
Yes, I will call the plays, but it's a perfect segue, actually, from the previous question, and even how I've seen it done. I've seen it done several different ways, but I'll call the plays, but you can't even imagine the collaboration that goes into preparing the call sheet, preparing the first 15, how we're prioritizing our third down calls, how we're prioritizing our red zone calls, all the situational football during the course of the game, how the communication goes between the play caller and the rest of the offensive staff, what's said, how we're talking to the quarterback. Again, it comes down to there's got to be one voice, and I'll be that voice calling it on game day, but it'll be a collaborative effort.
Stephen Holder, the Indy Star. You're coming into a situation where I assume you don't know a lot about the team, the roster, obviously. How much have you been able to learn, if any at all? And then secondly, obviously you have a vision in terms of personnel, what you need and want to do, the things that you want to do. Do you think that will take a long time to develop and build?
No, what I've experienced in playing and coaching is okay, in one respect, everything takes a little bit of time, and we got to be real. You're right. I mean, just played the Super Bowl not too long ago, know a little bit about the roster, but that was a discussion Chris and I had on very early. Hey, we'll have plenty of time to evaluate the roster and talk about the roster. Let's talk about how we create a championship culture. So that process will go quickly. That'll be a priority to learn the current roster. And what I've learned and experienced is it's an incredible difference what one or two players can make and the right culture.
Frank, Bob Kravitz with WTHR here in Indianapolis. You're in kind of a unique situation where you're coming in. There are three head coaches who are going to work for the previous guy. How comfortable are you with that setup, and what kind of discussions have you had with those coaches, if any?
Yeah, I mean, upfront and honest discussions. I mean, the good news was before I came in for the interview, knowing that was the situation, knowing what had been said, knowing that those contracts were going to be honored. And that's part of the reason I love this organization, that there's that kind of integrity. So doesn't still mean as a potential head coach that you're not doing your due diligence and learning about those coaches and turning over every stone on those coaches. And everything just was coming back positive, positive, positive. So I'm excited. Now, since I've taken the job, I've had a chance to talk with Matt at some length. This is like a home run. I mean, things happen in strange ways. Like Mr. Irsay said, this is a crazy business. This is a crazy business. But I could not be more excited than to have those three coaches and look forward to the other coaches who will be on our staff.
Frank, Chris Woodlick, CBS4. What did you take from your first experience here with Tony, with Bill, with Peyton, that you can use now with the Colts?
Character matters. It matters a lot. It matters a lot. Every detail matters. Exhaustive in preparation. The way we win is just as important as why we're going to win. Everything about it from top to bottom was authentic. It was real. Tony and then Jim Caldwell, same way, just with the same person every day. Those are examples. And, you know, for me to have a chance to learn from those two guys while I was here was an incredible experience.
Hey, Frank. Chris Hagan, Fox 59 right here. Obviously, you said the Eagles season just wrapping up with the Colts 6 weeks removed. Do you feel like you're playing catch-up, and as a first-time head coach, you can't try to put, you know, the cart in front of the horse? You got to take it day by day?
Well, actually, I was kind of hoping that we'd get used to the timing of this, you know, just coming off the Super Bowl, you know, and then playing, quote-unquote, catch-up with the rest of the league, right? I mean, I like this, right? We want to indoctrinate this timing all the time, but that's the great thing about the way Mr. Irsay has this organization set up. that Chris runs his side. The work that we're doing in a playoff, while we're in the playoffs, they're exhausting every detail on the evaluation. We trust that process. And it just so happens, because I've been here before, I know most of the scouts. I know their work. I've read their evaluations. I've been part of their evaluations. That's incredibly important that we all trust that. I have an immense amount of respect and trust for that process. I want to coach football, and I want to win games. And part of the offseason is being involved in the evaluation process, but I'm glad we have it set up here the way we do.
Pat McAfee, Barstool Heartland. How's it going, Frank? Great to see you.
Are you ready to come out and take some snaps again for me?
Listen, it's like
I got a wristband for you.
It's like dealing cards.
Dealing cards, right? Right. That's what I taught you.
Frank Reich is the only quarterback coach in the history of the NFL to coach a player to a perfect passer rating on Thanksgiving. People forget that. So from coaching Peyton to last year, you had Carson Wentz, Nick Foles. Now you have Andrew Luck, Jacoby Brissett. Do you think you just an abundance of talent surrounds you at all times? And what will you do with Andrew Luck to make him magical? And also a follow-up to that, do you hate or love Josh McDaniels for what happened? I'll hang up and listen to your answer. Congratulations.
Okay, love that. Man, I miss that right there. I miss that kind of humor. What was the question? No, I'm just kidding. You got me. The key to make Andrew Luck magical is this is a team game. As great as he is, and I believe he's the best. But this game, the reason that we all love this game, I just came off of a team that we lost our franchise quarterback and still won a Super Bowl. So I know Andrew embraces it. This game is not built on any one player. He is magical. He has special, unique traits and abilities that I respect as much as anybody. And I can't wait to work with him. But if we're going to win championships, and that's the plan, it's going to be about surrounding our whole team and the way we're going to bring out the best in each other. And as far as the second question, I'm going to answer that one just for you, Pat. The backup role has suited me well in my career.
Coach Steve Page, Mooresville Decatur Times. You kind of answered my question right there, but how is it coming into this situation knowing that you were not the team's first choice?
Yeah, I mean, that is truly the answer. I embrace it. That's just part of this business. When the ebbs and flows of it are exciting, and if you can't handle it and you can't embrace it, you should really go do something else. And so it's an exciting opportunity to forge together with other men around a common vision and move forward and be thankful for how things come together. Sometimes that's the best way for it to happen.
Frank, over on your left, hi. Greg Doyle, I'm with the Indianapolis Star. When that news breaks that he's out, how long after you hear that do you hear from the Colts that they would like to talk to you? And did you actually make a first step, given that your agent may well have already talked to them when you were dark?
No, you know, when I sat down, not only the conversation that I had with my agent that I'm going, quote, unquote, dark, my wife and I sat down, you know, before the start of the season, anticipating good things would happen, knowing the path that we wanted to be on as a husband and wife and the journey that we're on in this career. And we decided early on that we're not going to chase after anything. And so when the announcement came off that Josh stepped down, you know, that Josh was not taking the job, I did not call my agent. I did not text my agent. I did not say, how are we going to get an interview? Our work speaks for itself. I hope they call us. I really do. I really hope they call us. But if not, we're just going to get back to work.
Frank, when you retired from the NFL, did you purposely say you wanted to spend time with your family for 10 years? If not, what was it that said, all right, this is time for me to pursue that coaching opportunities?
Yeah, good question, because, you know, I stepped away for a few years, and I didn't know how many years it was going to be. I think it was 8 or something like that, or 7. I don't remember the exact number. But it was something my wife and I talked long and hard about. And then our path, I went to seminary, got very involved in ministry, did a lot of things in the community, traveled around the country. But I always knew I wanted to coach. I knew that I believed that was in the future. And it was whenever that time was, seventh year or something like that, I just knew I had been away long enough that I needed to – I better not be away much longer because I'll be – you know, I don't want the quote-unquote game to pass you by. I don't want anybody to get that impression, even though it hadn't. So I called up Bill Polian again at that point and said I would love to have an opportunity to break in. I'll scrub the toilets. I'll do anything you want me to do. And that's when I came and was an intern and then did quality control work.
Frank, Dave First from RTV6 here in Indy. Piggybacking off what Mike was asking, how much of it was the fact that Tony Dungy, great man of faith, was also coaching this team at that point when you decided to get involved in coaching? And also, big picture, this is how your coaching started, to be back now as the head coach of the Colts. Is this one of those things that kind of feels like it was meant to be? Or what?
Well, no doubt. Of course, I believe that and feel that it's been meant to be. And, you know, being able to get your start in a career with a Hall of Fame coach and someone who was a role model to me on how to be a man of faith, but yet still understand the passion and the level of competition and forging men together, what a great role model for me to break in as a coach.
Frank, Trisha Whitaker, CBS4 over here. You've kind of mapped out your vision for the team, but you knew the reality of the past taking this job. You know, they've missed the playoffs the last 3 years, but we've heard over and over again, that's not good enough, and that's not the expectation around here. How much do you embrace maybe the expectation to get back to that, you know, winning the AFC South and making the playoffs every year?
Yeah, I mean, I think as a leader, you have to embrace every aspect of it. You have to embrace the victories. You have to embrace the losses. You have to take ownership of it all, responsibility. And so I wouldn't want to be any other place. And working with any other GM under any other owner right now to have an opportunity to bring the excitement and joy back to this city, there's pieces in place here that really get us excited. And I'm just looking for the opportunity to build it one person at a time, one player at a time, one little detail at a time.
Frank, Bob Kravitz, WTHR in Indy. What will this offense look like? We have a sense of the defense going to 4-3, going to be changing here as we go. But offensively, will there be an abundance of RPOs? Will it look like the Eagles or something completely different?
We will be a multiple attack, up-tempo offense. We will be aggressive. We'll change things up with multiple. What I mean by multiple is we'll use multiple personnel groups, multiple formations, to be able to run the same plays over and over again to disguise it so that teams don't know what we're doing. We'll keep them off balance with run and pass. We'll change up the tempo. There will be a strong element of no huddle offense to the Colts offense. The analogy that I like to use is the analogy of a boxer. You know, when you step in a boxing ring, you want to impose your will on your opponent. And as an offensive team and as a team in general, we want to impose our will on the opponent. On the opponent. So as an offense, what that looks like is to impose your will means you run it when you want to run it and when you have to run it, and you throw it when you want to throw it. We speed it up when we feel we got somebody on the ropes and we can put them down for the count, and you slow it down sometimes when necessary. That's the analogy. That's what it'll be, we'll build the players around that kind of scheme.
Frank, Kevin Bowen, 1070, the fan. What do you think will be your biggest challenge as a first-time head coach?
I mean, the challenge, I'll tell you what's important to me, is people. And so anything that would inhibit or obstruct getting good people, that's the only thing that to me is a challenge. If we get good people and build good processes, we'll get where we want to get to. So that's what we're going to be about. That's what we're going to be about, getting the right staff in place, the right quality coaches in place, and then building it with the players. Thank you.